Well, saints, I greet you in the wonderful name of our Savior Jesus Christ. And as always, it's a privilege and an honor to be with you. I want to make a few announcements, as we always do, right before the session. We have a 4-hour DVD. It's called The Apocalypse, The Final Warning. And it's actually a 4-hour DVD, part one, part two. But my wife instructed me that we only have one copy left. So we're taking orders if you'd like to get it. And we'll actually ship it back to you free of charge. And I want to just play a little quick 1-minute clip of it.
It is one of the most important yet misunderstood books of the Bible, Revelation. Filled with the mysteries of God's plans for the last days of humanity, Revelation is a final warning for a human race that's on the very verge of meeting Him as either judge or as Savior. In this exclusive 4-hour docuseries, an assembly of the most respected theologians and experts in the field of Bible prophecy explore the myriad interpretations of the mysteries contained in the book of Revelation and end-time Bible prophecy at large. Join world-renowned Bible experts as they explore the coming events of the last days and unlock Bible mysteries containing critical information for you and your unsaved loved ones.
Prophecy is not written to scare us. Prophecy is written to prepare us. It's written to invite us, come to Christ while there's hope, while there's time.
Go online to secure your copy of Apocalypse, The Final Warning.
Now, it's not $45, so I want to tell you that, but I want to show you a clip of it. We have it for $25, and you can take an order, and we'll ship it back to you, okay? So we do have it there. We have a number of books there. This is Israel on High Alert by Dr. Ron Rose, a wonderful study. We have a DVD entitled Israel and Bible Prophecy, which will be my message I'm covering here. Again, we have the Bible Prophecy God's Order of Events series, which is a good foundational understanding of Bible prophecy. We give an overview of prophecy as well as the signs. We cover a lot of things related to Bible prophecy. You can get it there. Another book, 101 Answers to Questions About the Book of Revelation by Dr. Mark Hitchcock. Then we have what's called the Twofers. These are two DVD sets. This is called the Two Comings. We have the Rapture and the Second Coming. We have the Two Judgments, dealing with the judgment seat of Christ for Christians and the Great White Throne for the unredeemed. And then we have the Two Realities, the reality of heaven and the reality of hell in the Twofer series. So we do have those there. Here's another message we just completed. It's called Deception in the Church in the Last Days. And we go in depth to look at deception, not only that has crept into the world, but also that has crept into the church. And we expose a lot of things that a lot of Christians are participating in and don't realize that it is not good. It's a great, great message that will help you. Then we have our Bible Prophecy Manual, which is a user-friendly guide, very simple, user-friendly guide designed to help you understand Bible prophecy. We have our dispensational chart in the back, which is a chart of time. And then we have our website. We've been online since 1995. We have a website, accordingtoprophecy.org. We have a Facebook presence as well as Twitter. We're part of the Truly Family Entertainment Network, which is a family-oriented site. We have our Facebook presence and also our weekly program, Your Future in Bible Prophecy, on His Channel. You can go to hischannel.com. You can watch it that way. You can download the app. But we have a weekly program that airs every Thursday evening, Pacific Coast time, at 7:30. And then also you can go to the site. They do have archive of the current one. Or go to our website. We have a link there, too, that shows our archive there. Okay? Now, my message this afternoon or morning, Israel and Bible Prophecy, the greatest sign of the last days. I want you to bow your hearts with me as we ask the Lord to bless His word. Father, we love you, and as always, it's a privilege, first and foremost, to stand before you, the creator of all things, our God, our Lord, our King. What a privilege. Lord, it's a privilege to stand before your people today. Now, Lord, we ask today by your Holy Spirit, we ask that you would open the scriptures to our hearts. Lord, let us see Israel, dear God, in the last days as the greatest sign ever. Lord, help us to understand. Help us to put Israel in her proper place in the end times. And Lord, again, we just thank you so much for the word. We bind every scheme of the enemy. We come against every distraction of the devil. And Lord, we just ask this morning for an open heaven over your word. We thank you now. We love you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Israel, the greatest sign. It is truly the greatest sign in the world. Again, I'd like to bring in our prophecy chart, and we're again currently in what's called the church age. This is a dispensation, believe it or not, that's going to be closing really soon. And the reason why I say that is going to close by the door of the rapture. We will be caught up to be with Christ. And the Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. As the church is raptured, then the Bible talks about a 7-year tribulation. The nation of Israel will go through a season. This is the Old Testament prophecy, Daniel chapter 9. This is the latter part of Daniel's prophecy that is exclusive toward the house of Israel. Although it will affect the entire world, but the nation of Israel is key to that end time prophecy. So what we're going to do, we're going to actually look at Israel. We're going to see the nation of Israel. A lot of people have discounted this nation. Israel is major. God has brought her back in the last days. Israel is like a puzzle piece that you put that one piece down and other pieces of the puzzle click in. Israel is major. And again, we're going to see that. But we're going to see, again, God has salvation for Israel. Now, I'm going to give you 8 topics. We're going to hit them fast, some of them fast. I'm going to quote some scholars. What are scholars saying about Israel in the latter days? Then we're going to see the scattering of Israel in prophecy. You know when God scattered the Jews all over the world, that was prophecy. We're going to show you how God did. He scattered them. Then we're going to see the birth of a nation in the last days. He scattered them, but then he brought them back. And we're going to see the preparation and the things that he's doing and have done. Then we're going to see the literal regathering of the people to the land. Prophecies related to Israel. Then we're going to see the restoration of the land. As God brought them back, he's causing the land to be restored. And we're going to see that based on prophecy. Then we're going to see Israel's preparation for the tribulation. There are things that are happening in the nation of Israel that are preparations for the great tribulation. Now, they don't realize that, but these are events that are happening that is preparation. Then we're going to see Israel as she meets her Messiah, the Lord and King. And then we'll close up with Israel's salvation and Bible prophecy. So I want to start off here with this quote. The Bible gives us God's clear perspective on how he views the nation of Israel in the last days. It's a land that is the apple of his eye and favored with many promises throughout his word. There is no other nation in the world or in scripture that God has tied himself to for their existence and survival in the last days. Israel's rebirth back into world history is a powerful fulfillment, a very powerful fulfillment of God's word coming to pass right before our very eyes. We must understand the enormous significance of the nation of Israel in the end times. Now, a lot of people have totally rejected Israel, even though Israel is in a state of sin. And we know they're not born again. The nation as a whole, they don't honor Christ as their Messiah. But you got to understand something. God has brought them back into world history because he has plans to bring salvation to the house of Israel. The Apostle Paul in Romans 11, verse 1 and 2 said this. He said, I say then, have God cast away his people? He said, God forbid. He said, for I am an Israeli of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God have not cast away his people, which he foreknew. You know, if God cast them away, then we might as well get rid of the Bible. God has tied himself to this little nation. And again, we're going to see the significance of it. Now, I want to quote some scholars. What are scholars saying about the nation of Israel? I want to quote here first the late Dr. Chuck Missler from his book, Prophecy 2020. Listen to this. He said, though the Bible has spoken prophetically of all the major empires of the world, we see that it is most significant. It is most specifically focused on the nation of Israel. In fact, the entire history of Israel is an astonishing testimony of the supernatural origin of the Bible. I love that. When we examine the prophetic messages centering around it and see them fulfilled in its history, the Bible's track record is validated. And the providence of God is affirmed over and over. I love it. God has validated the scriptures by bringing this little nation back into world history. You know, many people have cast Israel off, and even before 1948, many scholars rejected Israel. Many of the church fathers rejected Israel. I have books in my library before 1948 of Bible scholars who stood on the authority of the word, and they said Israel is coming back into world history. Many of their scholars laughed them to scorn, but these men stood on the word of God, And 1948, when Israel became a nation again, the word of God vindicated these scholars. And again, we're going to see as we go forward. Quoting from Israel on High Alert, Ron Rhodes, he said, "Now, here is the significant thing. God fulfilled all these prophecies literally over the past few thousand years. The Jew, for an extended time, had not been faithful in their covenant relationship with God. In AD 70, Titus and the Roman warriors overran Jerusalem and destroyed its temple. And the Jewish people were scattered across the face of the earth. Whenever the Jew, wherever the Jew went, they were persecuted, often severely. This culminated in the Nazi Holocaust of the world in World War II. But through it all, listen at this, God preserved the Jews, both their culture and their ancient language. As Reagan puts it, the fulfillment of this latter-day prophecy has been one of the most remarkable miracles of history. No other people have ever been so dispersed and yet have been able to retain their identity as a nation." I got one more quote for you. This is from Dr. John F. Walvoord from his book, Major Bible Prophecies. He said, "For a Gentile believer of the 20th century, prophecy concerning the future of Israel may seem unimportant. However, from a prophetic perspective, the future of Israel is very important. In fact, the prophecies about Israel form the background of understanding prophecy as a whole. One of the main causes for current confusion in understanding prophecy is the failure to take Israel-related prophecies literally. Attempts to transfer the promises relating to Israel to the church have been a major obstacle to understanding God's prophetic purposes as a whole. Once prophecies about Israel are distinct, are distinguished from the prophecies concerning the church or the Gentiles, the main program of God, God as outlined in prophecy begins to be clear." And this is so true. If you have a false view of Israel in prophecy, it's going to affect everything you believe about prophecy. The church has not replaced Israel. The church has a place. We have a dispensation that's going to end by the door of the rapture. But God has a plan toward the nation of Israel, and Israel will be saved in the scriptures. Now, let's go a little bit further. We're going to begin to look at some things related to Israel. I want to deal with the scattering of Israel in Bible prophecy. You know, God prophesied to the Jews that if they would be disobedient, that he would scatter them all over the world. And literally, he did that. Look at this picture. God would scatter them in the four corners of the world. Now, what's so amazing about this particular prophecy is the way God scattered them. He scattered them in the nook and crannies of the world. And it's amazing. Truly, he did it. Jesus talked about it in Matthew chapter 24, verse 2. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? He said, verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. He was prophesying to his Jewish brothers that the temple was going to fall. Then in Luke 21:24, he said, and they, talking about his Jewish brothers, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Here, the key, he said that they would be led away captive. Listen at this. Into all nations. God supernaturally scattered the Jew. He sprinkled them all over the world. And again, we're going to see as we look at the regathering, we're going to see amazing things how God did it. According from the book Israel in Prophecy, Lewis Huff said this, "The history of the Jews since 70 AD has been one of suffering and persecution. Did not they bring this upon themselves when they rejected Jesus as their Messiah? They cried out in Matthew 27:25, let him be crucified and his blood be upon us and our children's children. Through the centuries, they have paid the price for their rejection." But again, God told them, if you disobey, I'm going to scatter you all over the world. Look at this prophecy here. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 27 through 31. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathens, whether the Lord shall lead thee, and there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But if thou from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Now God says, I'm going to scatter you if you disobey. And truly he did that. And truly we're going to see how he's going to bring them back. He said, you know, if you seek the Lord, I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to deal with you. Look at his next one here. This is verses 30 and 31 of Deuteronomy 4. He said, when thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shall be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he hath sworn unto them. Even though he said he would scatter them for their disobedience, if they would turn to him, God's a merciful God. And there's many prophecies that he's given to the fathers of old that he is going to bring Israel back. And again, these are some amazing prophecies here. Let me give you another one. This is Deuteronomy here, chapter 28, verses 64 and 65. He said, and the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shall thou find no ease. Wherever the Jews were scattered, they didn't find ease. They may have wealth, they may have, but they don't have ease. There's something in them that's unstable. He said, but the Lord shall give thee a trembling heart and failing of eyes and sorrow of mind. This is amazing prophecy. He prophesied this to his Jewish people. And I'm going to give you one last one here. Even though he scattered them, he still had mercy on them. God preserved the Jewish people in their diaspora. Jeremiah 30, verse 11, he said, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. God says, even though I scatter you all over the world, I'm going to make an end of other nations, but I'm not going to make an end of you. You have a place in my heart. I'm going to bring you back. But I will correct thee in measure and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. The scattering of the Jew was a supernatural thing. God scattered them in the nook and crannies of the world. And we're going to see as God began to bring them back in the latter days, he's bringing the Jewish people from everywhere. It's amazing. Now, the birth of this little land of Israel. We know this wonderful, momentous event on May 14, 1948, David Ben-Gurion, he read the Israeli Declaration of Independence at a small museum in Tel Aviv, Israel. Before an audience of 200 people, a new nation was born to the world. Israel came back into world history. This is significant. Again, scholars say it would never happen. But other scholars who trusted the word of God, they said Israel is coming back. When Israel came back into world history, prophecy, I believe, began to speed up. Reason why I say that, because God, in order to get to the end of the world, this nation has to be relevant. It has to be present. And Israel is here. The headlines read in the Palestine Post, the state of Israel is born. God brought this little nation the size of New Jersey back into world history. National Geographic had to change its maps to go by the biblical name Israel. It was no longer called Palestine. You know, Palestine was a misnomer. It was given by the Romans to bug the Jews, in a sense. Palestine was never the name of Israel. And I challenge pastors, don't ever call it Palestine, because it's called Israel. God has brought this nation back. Now, look at this. This is amazing prophecy here. When God will bring them back into the land, or bring them back, this is Isaiah 11, verse 11. Look what he said. God says, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the isles of the sea. Listen to what he goes on to say in verse 12. And he, God, shall set up an ensign. An ensign is a banner or flag. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the world. God said, I'm going to bring them back. Where I have scattered the Jew, I'm going to bring them back in the last days. They're going to come back to this little land. And again, saints, we are witnessing some amazing events. In that, we have the regathering of the Jew, the actual Jewish people coming back to this land. Now, what's amazing about this particular prophecy, God said he would regather them. I mean, Jewish people all over the world. A lot of them, you know, they don't honor Christ. But as I talk to him, I'm so amazed. I have a Jewish guy that works on my watches. And this man, he has a hunger to go back to Israel. He don't know what it is. He can't explain it, but he just wants to go back to Israel. He has a thriving business here in America, but this man has a tug in his heart to go back. And I know why the tug is there, because God is drawing him back. He is preparing them for the next dispensation. So here we have the return of the Jew. I love this here, Jeremiah 23:7. God says, therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Now, we're going to see something. This is an amazing prophecy here. God said, there are days coming to you, Israel, that you will no longer say to your children or rehearse them being delivered from Egypt. Remember when they passed through the Red Sea? They were commanded by God to rehearse the victories and the miracles that God did. So the little ones, they knew the story of Moses and them parting the Red Sea. He said, there's coming a time, though, where you will no longer have to mention that. I'm going to give you another prophecy that's going to be greater than the rest. I mean, greater than crossing the Red Sea. Look at this next verse. He said, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries, whether I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. God says the latter day restoration or regathering of the Jewish people is a greater miracle than the parting of the Red Sea. You're going to tell your kids this great God is bringing us back into the land. This is a prophecy that we are literally witnessing before our very eyes. Look at this one, Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 10, 11, and 24 and 28. He says, and I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it, and the cities shall be inhabited, and the waste cities shall be rebuilt. I'm thinking about cities like Ascalon and Ashdod. These cities were totally destroyed. They are now thriving cities in the land of Israel. He said, and I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring forth fruit. And I will settle you after your old estates and will do better unto you than at your beginning. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Now, what I love about these prophecies here, we are seeing the beginnings of these prophecies. Israel's the regathering has already begun, has already started. And I believe it's going to be completed as it goes on into the millennial kingdom. But what we are seeing today, in our time, we are witnessing a major prophetic event. You know, most scholars call Israel God's major time clock. I believe that. Israel's here by divine providence of God. He's brought this little nation back into world history. Look at verse 24 and 28 of Ezekiel 36. He said, for I will take you from among the heathens to gather you out. He said this, out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Verse 28. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Now, this is not to the church. This is not the church. This is to the nation of Israel. God is bringing them back into the land because he's about to give them salvation. Paul talked about his prayer was that all Israel be saved. That's going to happen. The nation of Israel, they're going to cry out to their Messiah. But God first must bring them back into the land. He must prepare the land. He must prepare his people for what he's about to do. Now, again, as we see these prophecies in the church, again, it lets me know that truly we're living in the last days and that the time of the church dispensation is coming fast to a close. Once we rapture, the church is taken out of here, then the tribulation can begin. God's going to focus his attention mainly toward the house of Israel. You know, that's why you have the 144,000 inside the tribulation. The Bible called them the first fruits unto God and the Lamb. You know, the 144,000 in the tribulation will be a first fruit offering. And you know, first fruits is a tithe. It's always a down payment on the harvest. As the 144,000 Jewish people get saved in the tribulation, they are a first fruit offering to God. So what God's doing today, he's bringing them back. He's bringing the tribes back into the land. The 144,000 of 12,000, each of 12 tribes, the tribes are coming back into the land. And during the tribulation, these people will get saved. They will receive Messiah. And then God's going to use them in the time of great tribulation. Now, in regards to the regathering, this is an article that I got back in the early, I think it was early 80s, from Parade Magazine, which is a newspaper in the States. And they did a full article on the Ethiopian Jew. Now, I said, man, there must be a God in heaven if you got black Jews. I told my tour guide, I said, listen, when I go to Israel, I said, I want you to show me a black Jew. We were going through Jericho. He said, look, Brother Perkins, an Ethiopian Jew. I said, wow, walking Bible prophecy. Look at this. This was an article that appeared in the magazine, not a Christian magazine. This is the actual picture. It says black Jews in Ethiopia, thousands have fled their country to escape famine and oppression and to fulfill prophecy of a better land in Israel. This is on the caption of this article. This is a secular article talking about these black Jews going to Israel. Let me read this. The last decade has witnessed the Aliyah, or the return of the ancient Jewish community of Ethiopia. In 1984, some 7,000 Ethiopian Jews walked hundreds of miles to Sudan, where a secret effort known as Operation Moses brought them to Israel. Another 15,000 arrived in a dramatic airlift called Operation Solomon in May of 1991. Within 31 hours, 41 flights from Ethiopia carried almost the entire remaining community to Israel. These were Ethiopian Jews in Ethiopia. As they were there, they were persecuted just like every other Jew that was scattered. They were persecuted. As a matter of fact, look at this picture here. This is inside a 747. They stripped all of the seats out of it in order to get these Jews in this plane. And as a matter of fact, this particular prophecy, it made the Guinness Book of Records. Look at this. The greatest number of passengers ever carried by a commercial airline is 1,088 by an LL Boeing 747 during Operation Solomon, which involved the evacuation of Ethiopian Jews from Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, and started on May 24, 1991. Listen to this. This figure included two babies that were born on the flight. The operation to evacuate Ethiopian Jews continued nonstop for 36 hours, involving a total of 31 LL jumbo jets and Hercules C-130s. With seats removed to accommodate the maximum number of passengers. Bible prophecy coming to pass. Guinness Book of Records had to put it in the record book. God was fulfilling prophecy, and they were coming back to the land. Just of late in 2018, they just had the Aliyah of the Indian Jews. These are Jews from India. These are Jews that are of the tribe of Manasseh. And what's amazing about this, the tribe of Manasseh has to be in Israel because based on Revelation 7 and Revelation 14, the tribe of Manasseh is one of the tribes that the Bible mentioned as the 12 tribes. Now, Israel has allowed the tribe of Manasseh to return to the land. Listen, saying this is amazing what we are witnessing before our very eyes. I'm going to move on because it's got so much here. Just going to give you some verses. I'm going to throw this in. Last part, Ezekiel 28, verse 25, he said he would gather the house of Israel. Jeremiah 23:3, he said he would gather the remnant of my flock. Jeremiah 32:37-38, he would gather them out of all countries. Ezekiel 37:21-22, he would bring them into their own land. Jeremiah 24:5-6, I will bring them again into this land. Isaiah 43:5-6, he said, bring them from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. God's going to bring them back into the land. And again, saints, we are witnessing some amazing prophecies that are coming to pass. Now, also, we look at the restoration of the land. You know what God did? God tied the nation of Israel to the land. That's amazing here. But we're going to see an amazing prophecy that God also put. This is found in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 35 and 36. God is tying the nation of Israel not only to the land, but he's also tying it to the universe. Look at this prophecy. The Bible says here, thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and the stars for light by night, which divideth the sea and the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. Listen to this. God says, if those ordinances, the sun, moon, and stars, if those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. God says, if you can stop the sun and the moon from shining, then I will get rid of Israel. I woke up this morning, the sun rose. That tells me Israel's going to be here. Look at this next prophecy. This is amazing here. In verse 37, he said, thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, if you can take out a measuring strip and go to heaven and measure heaven and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, God says, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. Now, listen, saying this is an impossibility. You cannot measure heaven. Anybody been to heaven yet? Anybody pull out a measuring strip to measure heaven? You can't do it. God showed us an impossibility. You can't do this. So therefore, Israel has a place in the end times. This little nation will be here because God has a plan of salvation for them. I love that prophecy. My colleague, Dr. Dave Reagan, this is a wonderful book. You may want to get it. It's called The Jewish People Rejected or Beloved. One of the best books I've found on replacement theology. Dr. David Reagan of Lamb and Lion Ministry. Listen to what he says. What God is saying here with the verses I just read, what God is saying here is that the nation of Israel will exist as long as the sun comes up and goes down and the seasons of the year come and go. And then to emphasize his point, the Lord states that the nation of Israel will continue to exist until all the heavens above and the foundations of the earth below have been explored and measured. In other words, Israel is here to stay. Amen. God has brought her back into divine providence, into his into planet Earth. He's raised the nation up again. Yeah. You know, whether you like it or not, whether you understand it or not, it doesn't matter. Bible prophecy is coming to pass. You know, I teach in a lot of churches and a lot of black churches, African-American churches. They don't teach Bible prophecy. So therefore, a lot of them, they have fallen, as I mentioned last night, they fall into this false teaching of black Jews in America. They don't understand prophecy. But when I go into a lot of black churches and I teach on Israel, once I'm done with that message, they have a whole different perspective because they see that the scripture has placed Israel in the end times. I remember one black pastor told me, he said, Brother Perkins, he said, you know, I really appreciate this message. He said, you know, I now have to have a whole different perspective on the nation of Israel because I see it in the scriptures. God has brought this little land back into world history. And again, it is so exciting. Look at this. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 8, talking about the land. He said, but ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches and yield fruit to my people Israel, for they are at hand to come. How many have been to Israel? Man, they got fruit growing everywhere, right? All over the land. It's unbelievable what they're doing. They have fruit growing in the desert. They have fruit growing everywhere. I'm going to show you some amazing prophecy. Look at verse 30 of Ezekiel 38. He says, and I will multiply, listen to this, fruit of the tree and increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of a famine among the heathens. God said, I'm going to bless the land. When the Jew come back, I'm going to bless the land to produce for the Jewish people. And truly, it's happening. Look at this, verse 34 and 35. He says, and they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and inhabited. Now, we do know these prophecies are going to go on into the millennial kingdom. But right now, we are witnessing the beginnings and the fulfillment of these prophecies toward the house of Israel. You know, Israel, is the third largest citrus-producing nation in the world. Little old Israel, the size of New Jersey. And right, the flowers they supply Europe, it's amazing. Look at this, Ezekiel 36:36. Then the heathen, I love this boy. God, you know what, God is populating the land. He's causing the fruit and the flowers to grow for the heathens to know that God is God. Look at this. Then the heathen that are left around about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. It's a testimony to the world that God is faithful to his word. Let me get this next one. I love this one. Look at these. These are Jaffa oranges. I went to Israel and had some Jaffa oranges. That was so good. I went back home. I came home, flew home, went to my local grocery store. In the grocery store, Jaffa oranges. I told the produce man, I said, can I take a picture of these? He said, yes. As I was looking at this, the Lord reminded me of a prophecy. Look at this prophecy. I love this one. Isaiah 27:6. He says, he shall cause them that come of Jacob, come of Israel, to take root. Listen to this. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. I say, wow. I'm looking at Jaffa oranges. I say, Lord, this is amazing. Saints, we're living in some amazing times as we see God fulfill prophecy. Now, I'm going to move a little further because of time. We're going to see here Israel's preparation for the great tribulation. God has brought this little land back into world history. The region is unstable, but it's unstable by God's design. Here is the nation of Israel during the time of tribulation. You see this little black line. This line here represents Israel in a spirit of slumber. There's a veil over their eyes. God will take them through the tribulation. The veil will lift, and then they will cry out for Messiah. So God is getting things ready in the land for this next dispensation. I want to take you here to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 4. Paul wrote, he says, talking about the Antichrist who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, all that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, here's a prophecy. There's a prophecy talking about the third temple. In order for the Antichrist to sit in this temple to claim himself to be God, that temple must be rebuilt in the nation of Israel. It's a prophecy. Well, many of you do know the prophecy of Daniel 70 weeks when it talks about the Antichrist as he desecrates the Jewish altar. In Matthew 24:15-16, Jesus also talked about the abomination that makes desolation. This is when the Antichrist, he either sets up an unholy thing in the temple and desecrate the Jewish altar. Well, that temple must be in the land in order for that to happen. And many of us already know what's happening in the land. The land is being prepared, but the Jewish people now are really concerned about rebuilding that temple. I want to quote here a fellow Canadian, the late Dr. Grant Jeffrey, from his book, The New Temple and the Second Coming. You can still buy this book. You can actually buy it online. A great book. He said, virtually all prophecy teachers agree that the preconditions for the rebuilding of the temple and the return of Jesus Christ, together with the current religious developments in Israel, are setting the stage for the new temple. For the last three decades, the Temple Institute, a small but very dedicated group of Orthodox rabbis, have been working quietly in the old city of Jerusalem to train Levite priests and to recreate the ancient temple worship vessels and musical instruments. These are essential for authentic worship in the new sanctuary. Now, we do know, even though they may restore the temple, the Shekinah glory would not rest there because Christ fulfilled the law. The Bible says on Jesus hang all the law and the prophets. So this will be a futile attempt to bring God back to them. But God's going to use this to cause them to come to Christ when they realize that even this third temple is not going to work. But what we are seeing is the preparation of the third temple. Dr. Dave Reagan, from his article in Christ and Prophecy, said this. He said, the rebirth of the Sanhedrin. He said, on October 13, 2004, the Sanhedrin Council of the Jewish nation was reconstituted for the first time in 1600 years. The Sanhedrin is the religious governing body of Israel. They came back. Look what he says. The ceremony took place in the Israeli town of Tiberias, located on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. This was the site where the council's last meeting in the year 425 AD. This incredible development, largely ignored by the press, appears to be one more step toward the construction of the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. They got to have the religious arm to be a part of this temple. What they've done so far, and we know, many of you know this, they've recreated over 100 sacred temple vessels. They have recreated the priestly garb, even the priestly garb of the high priest, the golden mitre of the high priest. They've recreated the breastplate. They've recreated. Many of you have gone to Israel. You've gone to Temple Institute. You've actually seen that. This is preparation for the next dispensation. Then the training of young Jewish boys, the Levitical priests. You can go online and watch them train the Jewish boys how to sacrifice lambs. You know, they're not doing that just haphazardly. This is preparation for the end time temple that's going to be inhabited by the Antichrist. We're moving forward. Jerusalem in the latter days will become a cup of trembling. Again, I shared, Israel is on the lips of the world. The world hates this little nation. This is an amazing prophecy here. Zechariah 12:2. God says, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about, when they shall be in siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. That's the West Bank area. Judah, Samaria, that's the West Bank. He said, but I'm going to make it a cup of trembling. It's like having a cup of coffee that's shaking. He said, I'm going to make Jerusalem like a cup of coffee that's shaking. You can't drink it because it's unstable. That whole region is unstable by God's design. He said, verse 3, and in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone. I'm going to make Israel, Jerusalem, a burden to the world. You know, the world say, if we could just stabilize the Middle East, the world would be at peace. The world say, we just got to stabilize that region. Nope. For all, he said, burdens of stone for all people, all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. You try to grab the burden of stabilizing Israel, God says, I'm going to cut you in pieces. Let me tell you something, no prime minister, no president can bring peace to the region. The only way Israel is going to have peace is when the Messiah sits on the throne. That's why God has the region unstable. It's going to bring glory to God. It's unstable by God's design. He says, I'm going to cut you in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. All people being gathered against Israel. So in light of that, let me show you some efforts to bring peace to the region. Some efforts of men grabbing the stone. Back in 1978, we know here, Camp David here, you have Anwar Sadat, Menachem Begin, and Jimmy Carter, the peanut farmer president. It was a futile event. Then in 1993, we had Bill Clinton, Yitzhak Rabin, Yasser Arafat, failed attempt. In July 2000, Bill Clinton again, Ehud Barak, Yasser Arafat. You know, Ehud Barak gave Yasser Arafat everything he wanted. And Arafat got up and walked away from the table. Bill Clinton said, I'm done. Sure he's done. He can't bring peace to the region. Look at this. 2003, George Bush, Ehud Barak, and Ariel Sharon. Futile attempts. 2007, Ehud Olmert, George Bush, and Mahmoud Abbas. Trying to stabilize the region. They're grabbing the cup. They're trying to bring peace to the region. 2009, we have here Benjamin Netanyahu, Barack Obama, and Mahmoud Abbas again trying to bring peace. But guess what, saints? They were all failed attempts at peace. God will not let man get glory to bringing peace to that region. Because the only way he's going to have peace is that his son will fulfill prophecy. His son going to sit on the throne of David. Now, we do know that today our president, President Trump, has moved the embassy. And I'm so glad. This has been on our books since 1995. This was the Jerusalem Embassy Act. And every president, since that thing was in American law books, every 6 months, they kick the can down the road. Every 6 months. President Trump was the only president that was bold enough to do it. I'm so glad. He said, I have determined that this is the time to officially recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. My announcement today marks the beginning of a new approach to the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians. President Trump, man, the world said everything's going to burn up over in Israel if he did that. Well, President Trump did it. Israel didn't burn up, you know, had fuel fires, but it didn't burn completely up. Now, There's an Israeli perspective and a Palestinian perspective. The Jew look at it different and the Palestinian look at it different. For the Jewish people, they look at it as a temple is about to be built. But from the Palestinian perspective, look what Mahmoud Abbas said. The Palestinian leader, Mahmoud Abbas, on Tuesday continued to exaggerate his exaggerated response to President Donald Trump's recognition of Jerusalem as the capital. Listen to this. Of Israel by threatening regional war. This is what he said. Speaking in Cairo, Abbas stated, Jerusalem is the key to peace if it is our capital. He said, if it is not, it is the key to war. He said, Trump will need to choose. There is no such thing as a Palestinian who will give up even 1 millimeter of Jerusalem. You know something? Say it's been the last days. Even though President Trump declared our embassy in Jerusalem to be Israel's capital, which is a good thing, it's going to further fulfill Zechariah's prophecy. Cup of trembling. Going to make the whole region still a cup of trembling. President Trump has taken Jerusalem off the bargaining table. So now they don't want to deal with him, which is fine. It's great. It's great. As a matter of fact, Israel is so happy about it, they minted a coin in Israel. It's a temple coin. Where they put President Trump and they put King Cyrus on a coin in honor. They've named bridges after him. They have really recognized that this is a move of God. They believe the temple is about to come. Here we have the declaration, you know, when they declared the Jerusalem embassy. Again, it's just amazing what has happened. And I'm so happy for this. I mean, further fulfilling Bible prophecy. The ultimate peace in the Middle East is coming. But you would be surprised as to how it will come. The United Nations and other governing entities believe they can accomplish this great task, but they are extremely mistaken. God has so beautifully given in scriptures how peace will be achieved in the Middle East. It is through his son, Jesus Christ, and him only him. God reveals his plan in such clear detail that anyone can see it. The unstableness of Jerusalem is by God's design. He controls the affairs of the world, and in his time, it will have divine peace as described in the Word of God. Now, this is what we must do. Psalm 122:6. Scripture says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. You want to prosper? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. When you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, you're literally praying for them. For the millennial reign of Christ. You're praying for Christ to come back. Now we're almost done. We're moving fast. Israel will meet her Messiah. Now look at this picture here. I love this picture. This is the second coming of Christ. Zechariah 13:6 says, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hand? Then shall he answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friend. At the second coming of Christ, when Jesus comes back, he's coming back to deliver national Israel from the hands of Antichrist and his armies. What's so exciting, Jesus will come back in the second coming in a different capacity. He's coming back as a man of war. He's not coming back as a passive lamb. You slap one cheek and he give you the other cheek. No, he's come back, the Bible says, with fire in his eyes. Not only that, saints, but at the second coming of Christ, when he comes back, he's coming back with the saints. We that were raptured and glorified, we're going to come back with Jesus in the second coming. I can't wait, man. I've been taking horse riding lessons. Look at this picture. I always do this. Look at this picture. See right there? That's Brother Perkins right there. Saints, I've even named my horse already. I've been challenging Christians from coast to coast, name your horse. But they're going to meet the Messiah. Almost done. Isaiah 9:6-7. This is a prophecy that Jesus fulfilled partially, but it will be complete during this coming. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Listen to this. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it. Jesus never fulfilled that prophecy, but he will during the millennium. And to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Jesus is coming back. And what he's going to do, he's going to bring peace to the region as he sets up his government. So now I'm going to close with this last part here. Israel, salvation in Bible prophecy. Dr. Dave Reagan, in his book, Israel in Bible Prophecy, he said they began with incredible bad news for Israel, but they concluded with glorious news that far outweighs the bad. The prophesied future of the people could be summed up in two words, wrath and glory. The wrath relates to a terrible seven-year period of unparalleled suffering, which the Hebrew scriptures refer to as the time of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. This period is usually referred to in Christian writings as the tribulation or the great tribulation. The coming glory relates to salvation of the great Jewish remnant and their elevation to status of the premier nation of the world. See, there's coming a time where God's going to bring salvation to Israel. Israel is going to cry out to Messiah and they will be saved. Paul wrote again in Romans 11:12. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, that's how the Gentile nations came in, because they fell. He said, if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentile, how much more their fullness? See, because what happened in Israel, the church age was birthed. The church is predominantly Gentile, although you have Jew and Gentile in the church. But the church is predominantly Gentile. This is one reason why God raised up the Apostle Paul. He's an apostle to the Gentiles. Here, he said, if their fall brought the riches of the Gentiles in, how much more their fullness? It's going to happen. He said here, verse 26, 27, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away the ungodliness of Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. Listen, saints, the nation of Israel is going to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. They're going to know Messiah the way we know Messiah. Now, there are Jews that are being saved today. Now, can I give you one more verse? Give you one more verse here. Romans 10, verse 1 through 6. You read the whole passage there. Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. God has not rejected the nation of Israel, as some may try to teach you. The church has not replaced Israel. If the church replaced Israel, we might as well get rid of our Bible. The scripture is not true. The church has a place in prophecy just as well as Israel has a place. And we got to keep Israel in proper perspective. We got to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But as Christians in the church, we need to evangelize Jew and Gentile. We live in the last days. The Lord want to use us to reach as many as we can before the rapture, which will close the church age. We must be about our Father's business. Let's bow our hearts. Father, we love you. And Lord, as your word declares in Psalm 122:6, today, Lord, as a body of believers, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Lord, we know as we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, dear God, it's going to bring in your millennial reign, fulfilling prophecy. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in that little land. Lord, what a blessing to see prophecy come to pass before our very eyes. Again, Lord, help us as your sons and daughters proclaim this clear message of one of the greatest signs of the end time, the nation of Israel. Now, Lord, we love you and we thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Isn't God good, saints?
Amen.
Amen.